Philippians chapter number 1, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20, and I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I appreciate the preachers that are with us tonight. God bless you, men of God. So grateful for you being in the revival meeting. I know that the word busy doesn't even come close in describing a preacher's life. A preacher can have his hand on the doorknob of a door to come to a service like this, and literally, you know, Dr. Lethley, one cell phone call, one text message, one email can not only change the entire evening, but sometimes it has the prospect and possibility of changing the whole week. And so I'm always honored and appreciative when God's good men are with me in a revival meeting. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. There's a phrase in this verse that right recently caught and captured my attention. And it's the phrase, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Do you see it? There it is. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight. Sometimes you have to be not the better, but the bigger Christian. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in all my heart, I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I am away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. The secret to the Christian life isn't being more significant, but Christ becoming more sizable in the Christian life. For far too long, both the believer and the Bible-believing church has attempted to compete with others instead of conforming with omnipotence. The sure way to fail in the Christian life is figuring ways to excel over the saints while the whole time the Scriptures emphasizes finding ways to exalt the Savior. Sometimes you have to be not the better, but the bigger Christian. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, we find a presentation of Christ as both a picture and portrait of the Christian's purpose. Now this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. Paul's supplication for the Philippian believers, verses 1 through 11, and then Paul's explanation to the Philippian believers, verses 12 through 30. It is while the Apostle Paul is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with Paul's explanation to the Philippian believers that a person sees the pattern for excellence in the believer's experience. Verse 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That word magnified means to have enlarged, to have enhanced, and to have enthroned. The sister verse of Philippians 1:20 just happens to be the theme verse, not lately, of the Bible Baptist Church here in Byesville, Ohio, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once penned about our text, Paul wanted every endeavor of his life to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus. He went on to write, whether by his lips in giving forth joyful testimony to the saving grace of God, or by his hands employed in dedicated service for the Master, or by his feet as God's errand boy, as a good soldier marching for Jesus. And then Oliver B. Green ties up his thought by saying, and as a good runner striving to win the prize. Never forget, you being better than another Christian is no large chore, but you allowing Christ to become bigger in you as a Christian, that's a necessary life challenge. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that, and it even bears repeating. You, and that's me as well, us being better than another Christian is no large chore, but allowing Christ, oh my, to become bigger in all of us as a Christian, that's a necessary life challenge. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need to forget the better and focus on the bigger. Look back at the text of Philippians 1 and verse 20. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. So long, so many have there labored under the wrong impression that the Christian life is about being better than me and me being better than you, but that really is not what the Christian life is about. Anybody can be better than me, and I'm sure there's some that could be better than you. But it's not about being better than one another, but it is, oh my, about Christ becoming bigger in each and every one of us. Forget about the better and focus on the bigger. Now, quickly tonight, there are at least four spots in the saint's life where the Savior must be sizable. Let's quickly notice it tonight. Sometimes you have to be not the better, but the bigger Christian. Number one, forgiving offenders. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. A spot in the saint's life where the Savior must be sizable is forgiving offenders. In Mark 11:25, the Apostle Mark tells us that while the lovely Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with the prayer of faith, he denounces the favorite sin of his followers then, and I must interject, his followers now, failing to forgive people that discomforted, damaged, and discouraged them. This is a verse, like so many in the Word of God, that a person doesn't need a stack of Bible commentaries as tall as the Byesville Water Tower in order to comprehend. Forgive to be forgiven, and fail to forgive and forget about favors, that's answers to prayer from the Father. T.D. Witt Talmage once said, God forgives with a broad sweep all faults and all neglects and all insults and all wrongdoing, that we may copy him with mighty success. Unvarnished truth. If you are only interested in being a better Christian, you'll forgive those who hurt you and ask for your forgiveness. But if you're truly, oh my, interested in being a bigger Christian, then you'll forgive those who hurt you even though they've never asked for your forgiveness. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need to forget the better and focus on the bigger in forgiving offenders. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Can I go ahead and preach tonight? Nobody is a member of the family of God very long until they'll be misrepresented, mistreated, or misquoted. But if they manage, Dr. Lethley, it correctly, somebody will see Christ and they can step away from the throne of grace with the confidence that their petition will be considered. Now listen, I don't want to hurt you, and I'm sure you don't want to hurt me, but if we hurt one another, what we need to do is, because we need to be forgiven, and because of the names and the needs on our own personal prayer list, we just need to forget about the better, oh my, and focus on the bigger when it comes to forgiving offenders. I had a young preacher call me not too long ago, and he said, Dr. Hamlin, they're talking bad about me. I said, praise the Lord. He said, no, you misunderstand. They're talking bad about me. I said, praise the Lord. He said, no, you're not getting it. They're talking bad about me. I said, another time, praise the Lord. I do understand what you're saying, and if they're talking bad about you right now, it means they're not talking bad about me. So praise the Lord, they're talking bad about you. It's not about seeing who is better, but it is about Christ being bigger in each and every one of us. It's been told, old Jim was dying. For years, he had been at odds with Bill, formerly one of his best friends. Wanting to straighten things out, he sent word for Bill to come and see him. When Bill arrived, Jim told him he was afraid to go into eternity with such bad feelings between them. Then very reluctantly and with great effort, Jim apologized for the things he had said and done. He also reassured Bill that he forgave him for his offenses. Everything seemed, Brother Bob Lethley, fine until he turned Bill to go. And as he walked out of the room, Jim called out after him, but remember, if I get better, this doesn't count. Guess what? Old Jim might have been a better Christian, but he certainly wasn't a bigger Christian. And what we need to do in our Christian life is get past, get beyond, get further than this business of you being better than me and me being better than you and all of us being better than others. We need to forget about the better and focus on the bigger. Forgiving offenders. Number two, facing obstacles. Luke 9:51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Oh, a spot in the saint's life where the Savior must be sizable is facing obstacles. In Luke 9:51, the Apostle Luke tells us that as the time of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion was drawing near, he decisively moved towards Jerusalem. Don't miss this towering truth. that from Bethlehem's cradle all the way to bloody Calvary, the shadow of the cross was pronounced on the Savior, which in turn prompted the Prince of Darkness campaign to prevent him from going to bloody Calvary. The word steadfastly means with a firm resolve, unwavering determination, or a fixed purpose. Gun barrel straight truth. The better Christian will do something for eternity's sake with a gentle breeze at their back. But the bigger Christian, see, we got to forget about being better. Now, I'm bending my ear. That's where you're supposed to say amen, or I'm going to look like Dumbo the elephant before we hit Friday night. We got to forget about the better. So many Christians, Dr. Lathley, you've seen it in your ministry. So many Christians are frustrated and fuming about this and about that. And they spend their entire Christian life trying to be better than somebody, better than their husband, better than their wife, better than their children, better than another church member, better than the butcher, the baker, I don't know, the candlestick maker. What we need to do is just forget about the better and focus on the bigger. Well, gun barrel straight truth, the Christian, the better Christian will do something for eternity's sake with a gentle breeze at their back, but the bigger Christian will do something for eternity's sake with a category 5 hurricane wind at their face. You know, Dr. and Mrs. Lathley, if all you are interested in is being a better Christian, you'd have quit a long time ago. I'm sure that in the many years that you've been here, there have been spots and there have been seasons where it would have been easy to throw in the towel. It'd have been easy to just quit. It'd have been easy to give up, especially if you were just thinking about, well, I'll just be better than somebody else. But aren't you glad we are that you decided, whether you knew it or not, that we're not going to worry about being better, but we sure are going to worry and be concerned about Christ being bigger in each and every one of us. And when we have that mindset, and when we have that drive, and when we have better than a mindset, that soul set, guess what? We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep pressing. It doesn't matter what comes our way. It doesn't matter what pops up on the road. It doesn't matter what crosses our path. We're just going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing because we're not interested in being better than anybody else. Oh my. But we sure are interested in Christ becoming bigger in all of us. Now, there's several hurdles every believer has to get over to do something sizable for heaven. And it may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but first of all, a personal comfort. Luke 9:58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, a hurdle every believer has to get over to do something sizable for heaven is a personal comfort. If you must have all of your creature comforts met to serve Christ, you'll quit before the milk in your refrigerator goes bad. A personal comfort. Secondly, a providential chore. Luke 9:60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Oh, a hurdle every believer has to get over to do something sizable for heaven is a providential chore. There's going to be times that the finger of providence points you down a path that is wrought with heartache and wrought with heartbreak. But friend, listen, we've got to just go ahead and trust him not only in sunshine, but we've got to trust him in storms as well. There'll be times in all of our Christian lives where God will point us down a path we don't want to go. where God will point us down a path that is not enjoyable. Listen, I am so weary of the attitude of so many Christians that you got to thrill them to get them halfway to serve God. Friend, you mark this down somewhere. Serving God isn't all honey buns and hallelujahs. Now, I'm not preaching against honey buns because I love them. But it's not all honey buns and hallelujahs and God forgive me and God forgive you and God forgive all of us when we got to be thrilled to do something for Him. There's going to be times when we're not going to be thrilled at the direction or the decision that Providence wants us to make, but we still need to make it if we're going to do something sizable for heaven. A providential chore. Thirdly, a perceived concession. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, a hurdle every believer has to get over to do something sizable for heaven is a perceived concession. Everybody has something in their rear view mirror that would cause them to slam on the brakes. So stop looking back there. A perceived concession. Oh, then every believer that is in this service and watching by way of internet tonight would realize the hurdles that we have to get over to do something sizable for heaven or a personal comfort. Boy, listen, I'm entering now our 46th year on the revival road. And friend, I didn't get in this to see what I could get out of it, but I got in this to see what I could put into it. And if we're going to do something sizable for heaven, then we're going to have to get over that hurdle of a personal comfort. I hear of churches that are looking for pastors, and a preacher will come and candidate, and he'll meet with the men, and the first question that the preacher asks is, do you have a parsonage, and do you have a paycheck, and do you have a pension? And I'm just wondering, where does the perfect will of, don't shout me now when I'm preaching good, where does the perfect will of God fit into all that? I believe you ought to take care of the man of God, and more so. But at the same time, friend, whatever happens to trusting God, whatever happened to depending upon Him, whatever happened to realizing we are not CEOs, chief executive officers, but we're supposed to be servants of the Most High God. And friend, we got to get over that hurdle of a personal, oh my, a personal comfort. There, a providential chore and a perceived concession. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., born Dr. Lethley in 1915. It's interesting. He was saved and surrendered to preach in 1935. Brother Brandon, 1935 was the same year that Billy Sunday died, the very same year. So the year that Billy Sunday died was the very year that Dr. Malone was saved and surrendered to preach. I've always thought that was fascinating. I'm afraid to see who died the year I was saved. It might have been Al Capone. I'm not sure, so I don't ever look that up. But Dr. Malone was born in the early 1900s, was born in 1915, and he used to say, I can't tell the times. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the times that I'd hear him say, if it, and the it was the A to Z of the ministry. He used to say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And friend, you know what? We got to get past. We got to forget about the better and focus on the bigger when it comes to facing obstacles. There's obstacles in the Christian life. It doesn't matter if you're in the sound booth. It doesn't matter if you're in the nursery. It doesn't matter if you're in the bus ministry. It doesn't matter if you're the song leader. I mean, you just fill in the blank of what you do for God and good. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. We're going to face obstacles. And if all we're concerned is about being better than somebody else, we'll quit every single time. But if we forget about the better and focus on the bigger. Look at the theme of the year. He must increase. John 3:30. I must decrease. John 3:30. That's what Philippians 1 and 20 is all about. Listen, you won't be running in his office every other day for a counseling appointment. If you'll just decide this year, I'm going to forget about the better and I'm going to focus on the bigger. I promise you, Dr. Leithley, it will eliminate counsel time. If God's people just were to decide and determine, I'm not going to worry about who's better than me, and I'm not going to try to be better than somebody else, but boy, I'm going to give my heart to this truth that I'm just going to make sure that in every day and every way, Christ is bigger in me. I promise you, you'll free up some time for the man of God. We having fun yet? I'm having a blast. I don't know about you, but I'm having a big time. By the way, no matter how far you came, I still drove further than you to get to the service tonight. And that's including you, Brother Bob Leithley, because I had to go up 7 exits to get to the one to come out. Well, anyhow. Oh, listen, facing obstacles. Number 3, forgetting offenses. Matthew 26, 49 and 50. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. A spot in the saint's life where the Savior must be sizable is forgetting offenses. In Matthew 26, 49 and 50, the Apostle Matthew tells us that while the lovely Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas comes with dough in his pocket, disloyalty in his heart, and puts a double-dealing kiss on the face of the divine Son of God. A person must note in this powerful narrative what I call a golden nugget of truth from the gold mine of the Bible, the Savior called the sellout friend. Which doesn't mean a casual acquaintance, but an actual companion. You do understand, and I know you do, that Jesus was omniscient, which is a great big long theological term for all knowing. And Jesus knew what Judas was going to do before Judas did it. And Jesus called him friend. See, when you're interested in just being a better Christian and not a bigger Christian, then you won't post misunderstandings and mistreatments on social media. And by the way, if you're a member of the Bible Baptist Church, you sit under the ministry of a great man of God, and you know better than that. You would never, not in this world nor the world to come, would you ever jump stupid? And by the way, social media has healing qualities. It really does. It helps the dumb to speak. But you sit under the ministry of a great man of God, and you'd never smoke a hymn book page. You'd never jump stupid. You just wouldn't. Do that and put out on social media what should never go there. You'd never do that. And I commend you for that. But at the same time, if you are interested in being a bigger Christian, you won't store that in the wall safe of your mind. Boy, feel that conviction come rolling in. I love it when it's that way. It's like a fog. It comes rolling in. See, the better Christian, they never put that stuff on. And by the way, the quickest way to get me to unfriend you, unfollow you, unlike you, in my heart, look at your post, go, the quickest way, they weren't privileged to see that like you were. The quickest way for you to get, for me to do that, is you post something that's got no business being on social media. My brother had a preacher call me not too long ago. He said, Dr. Hamlin, I'm mad at you. I said, my goodness, you're mad at me. What about? He said, you unfriended me on Facebook. I said, really? He said, you did. I said, I'm sorry. I said, just as soon as we get off this call, I'll friend you and unfriend you one more time. Now listen, if you're interested in being better, you won't post that stuff. But I'm not preaching about being better. I'm preaching about Christ being bigger. And when Christ is bigger, we won't take those things and stick them in the wall safe of our mind to pull them out each and every time we need them. See, the reason that you are hysterical about so much is because you're historical. Ah, this is such good preaching. I'm going to sign my own Bible and get done. Look at the text, Philippians 1 and 20. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. You take that verse and you can't get out of that verse, me being better than you and you being better than me. But you look at that verse and it's just as plain as the nose on our face. It is not about being better, but it's about Christ being bigger in us. I was holding a revival meeting. Brother Bob Lethley, outside of Baltimore, Maryland, back in November of this last year. I was in the bathroom getting ready for the service and happened to be shaving. And while I was shaving, getting ready for the service, all of a sudden popped into my head something that had happened to me 35 years ago. I couldn't believe that popped in my head. And I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, would you please wash that out of my mind by way of your precious, powerful blood? Now, it's never seen the light of social media, but somehow, apparently, it found a place in my memory. I asked the Lord to remove it. Can I be very transparent with you in telling you a prayer that I often pray? It's this: Lord, give me the mind of a goldfish for those that hurt me. And then give me, Lord, the memory of an elephant for those that help me. Now, if you're not enjoying your Christian life and you're enduring your Christian life, I promise you that maybe you've got a touch of dyslexia and you switch those two and you're remembering things that you ought to be forgetting and forget, preach on, Dr. Hamlin, preach on, forgetting things that you ought to remember. You say, are you preaching to me? Well, Cinderella, if the slipper fits, put it on. It's not about being better. It's about Christ being bigger. The story's told about a lady in Kentucky. Right after the Civil War. And she had General Robert E. Lee visit her. And the lady took him to the remains of an old tree in front of her house that at one time was grand and glorious. And there she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by the artillery of the Federal Army. She looked to Lee for a word of condemnation of the North, or at least sympathies with her loss. And after a brief silence, General Lee said to her, cut it down, ma'am, and forget about it. And I believe I'm preaching to some tonight that you need to cut some things down. You need to cut some things down. You need to cut some things down and forget about it. Because it's not about being better, but it's all about Christ becoming bigger in each of us. And then number four, and last of all, forgetting offenses. Not only number one, they're forgiving offenders and facing obstacles and forgetting offenses. But number four, and last of all, and I've been looking forward to this fourth point since the Lord laid the message on my heart, finding others. Luke 15:4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The spot in the saint's life of the Savior must be sizable is in finding others. In Luke 15:4, the apostle Luke tells us that in the parable of the lost sheep, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Brandon, likens a wandering lamb to a wandering lost man, woman, boy, and girl. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, once said about this particular parable, he grieves over each lost sheep, for he knows the misery that lies in the fact of being lost. But the hymn writer may have put it better when he wrote, Dr. Leafley, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering, sinners to find. No bedside manner truth. If you're only interested in being a better Christian, you'll give someone a gospel tract who asks you what church you attend. But if you're truly, oh my, interested in being a bigger Christian, not better but bigger, then you'll go to any length to give the gospel to anyone. I think sometimes we like to invite people to church. Dare I say it? Oh, you know I dare. We like to invite people to church that would look good sitting next to us. When's the last time you invited somebody that looked like they came from an explosion at an ink factory? When's the last time you invited someone that looks like they tripped and fell headfirst into a tackle box? When's the last time that you've invited somebody that, being real transparent, doesn't really make you look all that good, quote unquote? But last I checked, they have a soul just like anybody else. And I found, Brother Bob Leafley, that usually the ones that look the roughest are the tenderest. I know I've told it here. Years ago, I was working in my motel room, and there's a coffee shop. And by the way, thank you for the tip on the coffee shop today. I appreciate it. I didn't get to go there because my exit was closed, and I didn't want to be wandering in the wilderness, but I will go there ere the meeting is over. But there's a coffee shop right down from my motel a couple years ago in a meeting. And I went down there, and I was picking up my coffee, and a fella had his back towards me, and so I couldn't see him. And he had purple hair. And I thought to myself, how in the world? I want to give him a track, but I don't even know how to broach that. I don't even know how to do that. And so I just did what, bless your heart, you ladies do. I just started to talk, not knowing what I was going to say. Ooh, I felt a chill come over the surface right there. Ooh, a chill. I had no idea what I was going to say. but I wanted to give him a gospel tract. So, with no idea what to say, wanted to give him a gospel tract, so I just started to talk, didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know if he was anxious to hear, but boy, I was anxious to hear, and I just started to talk. And I said, sir, I said, congratulations. I said, today is give somebody a gospel tract who has purple hair day. As he was hearing it, I was hearing it. And I mean to tell you, he spun around. And when he spun around, it wasn't just his hair, but it was his beard and his eyebrows and his eyelashes. They were all purple. He turned around and said, that's me. That's me. That's me. I'll take that gospel tract. And I gave it to him and I said, oh, my. Oh, my. Now, we got to... Is this making any sense? One person, God bless you. I'm so glad you came tonight. We've got, I was preaching the other night, Brother Bob, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If I'm lying, I'm frying. I was preaching, and I mean ripping and roaring, and all of a sudden somebody out in the crowd hollered, thank you. I stopped, said, you're welcome. Went back to ripping. We've got to get past worrying about who is better. You being a better Christian than me is no large chore. It's not. But Christ being bigger in all of us, that's a life challenge. And here's what I love, Dr. Leithley, about this truth. We may fail today about allowing Christ being bigger than us. And here's what I love about this truth. We may fail today, but God in his goodness and grace may give us tomorrow. And so tomorrow we have a clean slate and we can work on this truth again. And should we hit the bullseye tomorrow and forget about better and focus on bigger? And should we hit that bullseye? I mean, right in the dead center. Guess what? Then we got another day to work on it. And then we got another day to work on it. And then we got another day to work on it. And then all of a sudden, it becomes the challenge of our Christian life, that what we're going to do in every day and every way is just make sure that Christ is bigger in each of us. I think we like to invite those people to church who would look good in the photo yearbook of a fundamental Bible college. Preach on, Dr. Hamlin, preach on. We like to invite those people. And here's the thing about better Christians. They'll put someone in a pew once in a while. But bigger Christians will put several someone's in a pew on the altar in the baptistry, and far more importantly, on the pages of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm here to tell you what we need to do is just forget the better and focus on the bigger. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look back at the text, Philippians 1. And 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Wow. What I want to do is I want to forget about the better and focus on Christ being bigger. I'm closing with this. I think through the years, I probably have told that I'm an only child. And back in November of last year, November 13th last year, my mother, at 87 years of age, graduated to glory. I remember one afternoon, she had called me, and she said, John, I did something at the grocery store today that I'm wanting to know it was all right to do. Now, you visitors from heaven, you don't think like this, but I'm not a visitor from heaven, so I can't help how I think. But when she said that, I want to know if what I did was all right to do. I thought to myself, Dr. Leithley, well, whatever it is, you've already done it. I mean, I appreciate you calling me, but whatever it is, it's already in the past tense. You've already done it. I thought that. I didn't say that. That's why I'm preaching here tonight. I thought it. I didn't say it. I said, well, Mom, what is it that you did? Well, what is it that you did? And she said, well, she said, you know, the Kroger grocery store by our house, and this would have been, 26400 Ford Road, Dearborn Heights, Michigan. There's a Kroger's there. And she said, you know that Kroger's by the house? I said, yes. She said, well, she said, I'm just wondering. She said, I did this, and I want to make sure it was all right that what I did. She said, when nobody was looking, she said, I went down the liquor aisle. And she said, when nobody was looking, I took your gospel track, and when nobody was looking, I stuck it in cases of Budweiser and cases of Miller and cases of Lowenbrow. And I stuck it in cases, Brother Brandon, what are those other beers? Oh, you're smart not to answer that one. She said, I just took a stack of your gospel tracts, and when nobody was looking, she said, I stuck them in those cases of liquid Lucifer and Beelzebub's beverage and Satan's sauce. And by the way, Bud, you'd be wiser if you stayed away from Budweiser. And she said, when nobody was looking, I stuck them tracts in there. That's what I said. Go, you go, girlfriend. That's what I told her. You go, girlfriend. Now, hey, at that moment, sis, at that moment, my precious mother, who's with the Lord tonight, she wasn't interested in being better than me. And I say it respectfully, better than you. She wasn't interested in being better than anybody else. But boy, she was interested in Christ being bigger in her. I can't prove this, but I can just imagine Dr. Leithley when she graduated to glory on November 13th of last year. I can just imagine the reception line as there was my sister, who I've never met, but one day I will. And there was my in-laws, and there were my grandparents, her parents, and there were my brother-in-laws, and there was Dr. Malone, and I can just imagine Dr. Lakin, and I can just imagine that receiving line on November 13th of 2024 as she got to heaven, and as they all welcomed her there, I can just imagine on the back end of that line, somebody walked up and said, are you Mrs. Madeline Hamlin? Why, yes, sir, I am. We've never met, but I went to that Kroger's that you used to go to in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, and I was going fishing, and I picked up a case of Budweiser. And he said, I got in the boat and went fishing, and I opened that case, and out fell a gospel tract. And I read it, and I got saved. And that's why I'm here. I can just imagine on the tail end of that receiving line, somebody else stepped up and said, I understand you're Madeline Hamlin. They said you were coming today, and I wanted to be one of the first ones to greet you. Is that you? And yes, sir, that's me. Well, you know what? We've never met, but you know, I got a gospel tract that was in a case. What are those other beers, you know? It was in a case of Stroh's, and it was a football tailgate party. And we got down to the last, the last case. And we opened it up, and out fluttered a gospel tract. And everybody laughed and made fun. But I picked it up, and I put it in my pocket. And when I got home, I read it and got saved. And I heard you were coming, and I wanted to be here to greet you. I don't know, Dr. Leithley. I don't. But maybe that right there had something to do with that her home-going celebration. She had 7 pallbearers. I've never seen this. In my 46 years of ministry, I have never seen this. She had 7 pallbearers.
3 were family, 4 were gospel preachers. She had more gospel preachers as pallbearers than family. Not as a preacher, not as a preacher's wife, but a layman. I'd ask the Lord to do in your heart as I preach this what he did in my heart as I prepared it. Because I'm afraid there's a lot of God's good people, I mean, that would come to a revival meeting on a Monday night in Byesville, Ohio. There's a lot of God's good people that are frustrated, and all they're trying to do is be better than somebody else. When Philippians 1 says, we're supposed to let Christ become bigger in us. Sometimes you have to be not the better, but the bigger Christian. Our heads are bowed.